In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, to those who believed in his name, and he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, born of God. The Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-14. Prophecies were given. Promises have been fulfilled. Praises lifted up, and wonderment has been realized in the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, would leave heaven, take on flesh, come to earth, not as a conqueror, but as a baby. The Son of God would leave the glory of heaven in starting his earthly journey as you and I once did, as a baby, carried in a woman's womb. His coming was for one purpose, to set us, the captives, free. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Luke 1:26-38. Mary was frightened, and it must have shown a little bit, but Gabriel comforted her and assured her that there was no need to be afraid. And then came the news. Although not yet married, she would be with child soon, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, would overshadow her, and she would conceive, and it would be the Son of God that she would carry within her womb. Her response, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Her complete trust in the Lord God now on full display. And the problems that would be before her, now she turned them over to the Lord. He was, she proclaimed, in control, and she would follow his lead. Time is set by God for creation's record, a testimony to the work of God's hand, and it is the recording of man's following of the Lord or his rebellion towards him. Before time and after time is recorded no more. Eternity was, is, and will be. Man cannot stop time, nor can he slow it down. Even the enemy of God is not able to change it, because time belongs to God to do with as he pleases. Why was Jesus born when he was? Well, it was on God's time. It was in God's plan, and it was under God's authority. Mary would have known of the announcement given by Isaiah of the coming Messiah, and she would have been with the rest of the nation waiting for the fulfillment that was yet to come. For Isaiah had written, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Isaiah, speaking of this child in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, says to us, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this." And Jesus would one day tell his disciples that, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And in this, he proclaims to them yet again who he is. And it is not a contestable statement, as there are no arguments to be made, and the facts are the facts. The Word of God is the Word of God. And he would tell them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." His birth, his coming to earth, his being born of a virgin, his obedient service, his knowing of who he was, and yet not because he couldn't, but choosing not to, he humbly walked as a man among men. Luke 2 and 40, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." To him, to Jesus, came all the experiences, the emotions that a child, a young man, and one stepping into manhood would encounter. He grew up in the same world that we grow up in, and yet he alone was without sin. He walked a path no other could walk. He was not persuaded by pride. He was not tempted by possession. He had not a home to protect and be distracted by. His work was of the kingdom to come, and all that he needed was supplied for him. Each thing he said, each thing he did, was to the glory of God the Father. He came to die, that those who would believe in him could live. And he never lost sight of the purpose for which he was sent or of which he came. How much like him can we say we truly are? What if you looked at your life in the context of asking yourself, "Why am I here today? Why did God send me to be here now? And what is my purpose in the work of his kingdom?" Could we possibly take our focus off of ourselves, our hopes, our dreams, and put them in the perspective of what God's hopes, his dreams are for us? Everything about Jesus was about God the Father. And by his compassion, by his mercy, by his righteous anger, he did not lord over people, but rather told them of the Lord. He invited them in and helped them to walk in, to see once they were there, and to hear what they could not hear before. Too often we will begin to listen to another speak, but somewhere a word draws us off the path, and we begin to add our thoughts to what is being said, and so what we hear becomes diluted, and it's not of its pure form. Jesus was not distracted in this sense. He was the Word. He came for a purpose. He came at a predestined time. He pursued his coming, even knowing of the pain and the suffering and death in the body that was the calling that he had answered to. And how beautiful the sacrifice made that he left heaven to come to earth to walk amongst men, and in a world that would deny him, prove its hate of him, and the fear that was held by those in power towards him, a power given to them by him. And yet he would die for them also, so that they would be set free, free from the bonds of the curse when a man questioned the integrity of his Creator. Psalm 89, 1 and 2, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever with my mouth. I will make your faithfulness known through all generations, and I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself." We celebrate the birth of the Christ child, of the baby, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate life. We celebrate freedom and sacrifice by the celebration of his birth. And we celebrate and exalt the Lord our God, because of his love for us, as he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that life begins the moment that you ask him into your heart. No matter the shape you are in, where you are at in this life, or even how you got there, he waits for you to invite him in, to welcome him in as fully as Mary did, and to commit yourself to him. He waits for you to take your eyes off of the temporary, off of the things of this world, and to focus on the eternal, a life and a relationship in and with him. You see, no greater love has ever been known. No greater price ever been paid. Time was separated for all time. We celebrate the birth of Christ, and we prepare the way of his return as we tell this generation and those that will follow of the mighty deeds that he has done. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.